This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. You'll be listening to this on Easter Sunday, and so we're moving away from our study in Genesis right now, and I want to spend just a little bit of time on the importance of the resurrection, which is, of course, associated with Easter. And if you'd like to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. This program is on my website and can be re-listened to there. And I have a weekly meditation on the website that you might find helpful as well. There's other information there. So if you want to contact me and leave prayer requests or make comments, you can do that through the website or through regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, today I want to read from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8, where Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." That is, unless your believing is ineffective. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas," that is Peter, "then by the 12, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James," that would be his brother, "and then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as of one born out of due time." And Paul's referring to the Lord appearing to him on the Damascus road back in Acts chapter 9, an appearance that changed his life forever. Then in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20 we read, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Now we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. We know that this time of the year is called Passover as far as the Jews are concerned. And the Passover was celebrated on the 14th day of the month when the Passover lamb is slain. That's when it was slain, when they were back in Egypt in bondage. And then on the 15th day of the month, for the next 7 days, they celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread has to do with the life of a Christian when we're looking at it from a New Testament perspective. It's the holy life that we live as a result of having been redeemed by a Passover lamb. Now we know Christ is the Passover lamb, and we know that he did die for us at the cross as a result of the need for God to have a proper payment for our sins. And Christ is the voluntary burnt offering who died for us and then was buried and was raised again for us. Now the 14th day of the month is the Feast of Passover. The 15th day of the month is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is on the Jewish calendar. And the 16th of the month is the Feast of First Fruits. And the 16th is what we are particularly concerned about today, because the Feast of First Fruits had to do with the offering of the very first of the barley harvest, the first crop in Israel in the spring, to the Lord, and it spoke of resurrection. So when we look at the Jewish feast, it speaks to us of New Testament truth, the 14th being the death of Christ, which probably did occur on Friday, the 15th being the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the 16th being Sunday, being the day that the Lord was raised from the dead. Now, that's why when we read from 1 Corinthians 15 that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ was according to the Scripture. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that Christ would die, and it was prophesied in the Old Testament that he would be raised from the dead. And we won't go beyond the prophecies connected with the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt, because those prophecies, those pictures themselves are prophetic with regard to the work of Christ. But what's important is that Christ was raised from the dead. And sometimes I like to put myself kind of in the picture of the events that took place when the Lord was crucified. We know that the death of Christ had been predicted by the Old Testament prophets, and the Lord had told his disciples that he was going to die, and the third day he was going to be raised again, but they had not been able to accept that. So when the Lord was being crucified, there was great fear, and there was great confusion, because this wasn't the way they had it doped out that this was going to work. They were going to be a part of a kingdom that was supposed to be established right then. And so, particularly when it came to the 11 faithful apostles, they had expected the Lord to set up a kingdom and to reign. But now he's dying, and that dashes all hope, because for us, death is the end. We no longer can communicate with a person that has died. There's sorrow generally associated with a person that has died. And there's a great deal of adjusting to do in our thinking and in our lives when we lose a loved one. And the Lord, who is to be a king and who had made a triumphal entry into Jerusalem just the previous Sunday, is now being nailed to that old rugged cross. And what must have gone through the minds of those who thought that they were going to be sitting on the right hand and on the left of the Lord in his kingdom? Did they wonder if they had it all wrong and if in fact they had trusted in the wrong person? I suspect those thoughts went through their mind, but it turned out that the Lord was raised from the dead just as it had been prophesied, and on the third day the tomb was empty. And when the women in particular who come to that tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus, when they get there, they find the stone has been rolled away. They've come while it was yet dark because they wanted to be there at first light in order to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. And yet when they got there, the stone had been rolled away, and when they looked into the tomb, the body was gone, and there was an angel, probably two angels as I understand it, sitting there. But one of them said to them, "Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he is risen." And so the cornerstone truths of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and as I've often mentioned, he was buried to prove that he actually died, that it was not just him going unconscious or falling into a coma. He actually died. You bury people who are actually dead. And then again, he was raised from the dead. And the portion we've read talks about the many witnesses that saw that the Lord was raised from the dead. Now, this cornerstone truth of the resurrection of Christ is what gives the Christian hope. It gives us confidence that because he lives, we will live also. He rose again. Verse 4 says he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And then in verse 20 it says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Now remember, I've told you that he was raised again on the feast of first fruits, which fell in that week of unleavened bread. The Bible sometimes refers to the actual Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread as Passover, since it was Passover time. But he was raised again as the first fruits on the Feast of First Fruits. He became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And what that tells us is that if there's a first part of the crop, then there's going to be an ingathering of the crop itself. And so in offering the first fruits to God, that reminds people that the best is coming. I mean, the first item you take from your garden usually tastes so sweet and you're so happy about it, but that just gives you the promise that there's more coming. The first tomato isn't the last tomato that you pick from your vine, and the first of the wheat is not the last of the wheat that you're going to harvest. And so when we look at this first fruits, the Lord reminds us that just as Christ was raised from the dead, then we who have fallen asleep in Christ, and that's always a picture of a believer, not of an unbeliever. It's a person whose body is sleeping, but whose soul is not. That person is going to be raised again. The body is going to be raised again. There's going to be a resurrection. Just as there's a first fruit, there's a crop coming after. And so this was a cornerstone truth that was preached in the New Testament. And it seemed as though the one thing that the disciples emphasized when they preached the gospel was that the Lord Jesus was risen. That empty tomb is what gave them confidence. They had believed in the right person. They had believed in the right truth. They had worshiped the living God. And that truth is the truth that allowed them to carry the gospel even to the point of martyrdom for all but the Apostle John. And so the resurrection was the thing that gave joy and completion and hope to the gospel. It had been predicted, it just had not been understood. And we can say that because he lives, we shall live also. Not only Christians can say that, although there's going to be a resurrection of life, those who have been saved, there's going to be a resurrection of damnation. Those who rejected Christ are also going to be raised from the dead. They're two different resurrections, but for the Christian, they can look forward to being raised to live and to be with the Lord. Now, we use as our theme song that hymn that Bill Gaither has sung so many times. I think it's his lyrics, "Because he lives, we can live also." And because we use those lyrics and because it's so appropriate for Easter, I would just want to read them to you at the close of this program. And remember, this is the hope of those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus. For those who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus, their end is to be destroyed and to be separated from God eternally in a place of judgment. The Bible calls it ultimately the lake of fire. But we who are saved, we have the living Savior as the one who has died for us and who is coming again for us and who is going to raise us from the dead. The lyrics go like this. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth a living, just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby, and feel the pride and joy he gives, and greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth a living, just because he lives. This is my Savior, and he lives, and I hope he's your Savior too. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program, and we trust that you'll bless all who have listened. Meet the needs of your people. Meet the needs of the unsaved today as we thank thee for the resurrected Lord in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.